Shabbat Shalom. I want to think with you today about our communal ambitions. What are we really trying to do here? What are the elements of a great synagogue? We, the professional and lay leadership, think about these things all the time. We invest considerable effort in process and procedures. We engage communications and marketing professionals. We produce slick brochures. We stay current on the latest gadgets of social media. We have specialists on how to advise us to make the most of 21st century technology. We stream our services and archive these sermons. And we follow the advice of experts who told us invest in high-definition cameras. That way it would be easier on the eyes online. Otherwise, no one will sit through a service or a sermon online, as if they can easily sit through a sermon offline. We have professional accountants, bankers, and investment specialists who examine our budgets in the minutest detail. And these budgets are reviewed annually by licensed auditors. We produce fancy-looking PowerPoint presentations that illustrate how we are doing on any given day of the year. We yearn for more space and more attractive space. We consult with interior designers and real estate experts. We had electricians in the building all week trying to figure out how to get more amps up to the top floors of the building. We analyze trends and megatrends. We're experts in Jewish communal life. We pore over every study of the American Jewish community. We note with pleasure the expansion of the Orthodox part of the Jewish community, and we worry about the contraction of non-Orthodox Judaism. We consider every new proposal of every Jewish group that advises the Jewish community on how to create better institutions. Branding has become a term of art in the Jewish community. People who know how to sell toothpaste advise us on how to sell Judaism. And all of these things are important. We do them all. We cannot run a large and complex institution without these. And in many ways, Stephen Wise is similar to any other for-profit company. We have to run things efficiently, and modernly. But I was thinking, in the end, is anyone drawn to Judaism because of a flyer? Even you young people, you social media mavens who wear technology on your sleeves as if it is attached to your body. Well, for some of you, literally, it actually is really attached to your body. I ask you, has there ever been a Jew who joined a synagogue and stayed with a synagogue because of a tweet or a like or a hit or a virtual friend on the synagogue Facebook page? And what about the rest of you? Did you come here because we have the most beautiful PowerPoint presentations in the entire American synagogue world? Certainly isn't because of the unusually gorgeous bathrooms in the building. The liberal Jewish world is rapidly contracting. Reform and conservative synagogues around the country are closing or merging. Are our people abandoning Judaism because we haven't branded Judaism well enough? And that those marketing geniuses who created the phenomenon known as Snooki might also be able to sell or brand us? If you can sell Kardashian Selling a synagogue is a piece of cake. I think that some of the answers to our cutting-edge problems can be found in this week's Torah portion, which, ironically, is among the most ancient, arcane, archaic, pre-modern, distant passages in the entire Bible. In the Parsha Tezria Metzora, we read in vivid detail about various illnesses and ailments and other bodily manifestations of diseases. We are treated to colorful descriptions of pus and eruptions and blood and scales and skin diseases. It's what youngsters today call TMI. Sure that all of you understand that looking at the... That means too much information. You know, modern people don't like to be reminded of such things. We don't even like to read about these blemishes, let alone to see them in our midst. We just hide suffering people away in their homes or in hospitals or in shelters or in assisted living facilities. We prefer a much more sanitized and attractive presentation of the human figure. The ones that are built by multi-billion dollar cosmetic, fashion, and plastic surgery industries that are provided to us. And in the end, if they can't do the trick, either because, well, the human body is the human body, and at some point, it cannot be hidden under cosmetic or fashion tricks. Or, because there is a limit to modern medicine, we just shut these people out. Out of sight, out of mind. Back in the days of our Torah portion, these luxuries were not available to the community. What are you going to do if you're in the middle of the desert with people who had these ailments, some of which might be infectious and at the very least confused, repulsed, and even terrified the healthy ones? The priests at the time, that is the spiritual leaders, would examine a person, and if the priest found that man or woman unclean, they would reside outside the camp. The priest was not a medical doctor. He wasn't doing science. He was concerned about the purity of the community. If there was a level of impurity that threatened the rest of the community, that impurity would be expelled until the impurity was eliminated. And the stunning thing was this. The priests were expected to bring the impure back into the community. After a period of being outside the community, even if the person still showed outward signs of the disease, the priest would do everything in his power, exploiting every loophole available to him to welcome the person back in. And this coming back in would be marked with elaborate ritual of welcome. Human technology has advanced in the 3 millennia since, but I don't think that the human temperament is all that different. What are people looking for today? The same thing they looked for back then. Community, embrace, understanding, welcoming, love. These are what people need, and these are what a religious and spiritual community must provide. If it does not, the community, by definition, is impure, and all the cosmetics in the world cannot hide the blemishes and impurities of such a community. All this modern sophistication, all of this slick-looking literature and madmen advertising that we can accomplish today, they are important, but they are not our driving force. They can only augment what is already inside the community. And if the community is not pure, if the community does not hold to basic human and Jewish values that have driven and defined us for thousands of years, all the madmen marketing and all the best bold branding will not save us. It might bump up our numbers for a year or two or three, but the implosion will certainly come. What people are looking for, even young people, is not a virtual Facebook friend, but a virtuous face-to-face friend. A community that values them as individuals with whatever imperfection and disfigurement they may have. This is what creates and this is what defines a great synagogue. A great synagogue is where healing takes place. Not in the medical sense, but in the spiritual and emotional and psychic sense. Even the priests of old were not trying to heal the skin ailment. They were trying to heal the emotional turmoil that the ailment created. The affliction in the Jewish world today is not physical. It is spiritual. The current condition of the Jews has never been as good in the whole history of the Jewish people. There are few Jews today who live under oppression and persecution. There is a Jewish state for the first time in 2,000 years that is capable of defending itself. The Jewish body has never been as healthy and at the same time had never been as sick. The Jewish body is suffering today because the Jewish soul is riddled with impurities. And these impurities can only be healed through community. Not through marketing, but through morality. Not through PowerPoints, but through powerful points of entrance. Not through flowcharts, but through flow through into our community's embrace. This is what we've been trying to do here for the past decade. In the course of this decade, at a time when the liberal Jewish community has shrunk, we have welcomed perhaps 1,000 individuals and families. Most of you who are here now were not here a decade ago. We have staffed ourselves with social workers, rabbis, and clergy who care and teachers who inspire. That's the way forward. There is no other way. It's the same way that our people have followed for 3,000 years. And I hope one day, say, 50 years from now, after I am gone, our successors, more confident and more healthy than we are, will look back at us and say, that was a great synagogue. It had good material and good technology and good public relations and good charts and beautiful space, and even the bathrooms were nice. But what made it great were not these. What made it great was when I was suffering, you comforted me. When I was lonely, you embraced me. When I was vulnerable, you prayed with me. When I was empty, you inspired me. When I was hopeless, you dreamed with me. When I was weary, you invigorated me. When I was sad, you cried with me. When I was happy, you rejoiced with me. When I was curious, you taught me. When I was searching, you found me. When I was conflicted, you soothed me. When I was impure, you purified me. When I was outcast, you took me back. When my people was threatened, you protected me. When my people was attacked, you defended me. When my people was weak, you strengthened me. When my people was absent, you summoned me. When my people was disengaged, you challenged me. When my people was unconcerned, you concerned me. When my people was ungenerous, you asked me to give. When the doors were closed, you opened your house. You fed the hungry. You housed the homeless. When greed was rampant, you spoke out. When injustice prevailed, you fought back. When wrong was perpetrated, you did right. When intolerance was widespread, you stretched out your hand. When hate was spoken, you preached love. The Tiaroa Kohen and the priest shall purify them. The Tiheret Anega Tahorhu, and the priest shall pronounce him pure. He is pure. The Tiheroto Akohen Vitaher, and the priest shall identify him as pure, and he shall be pure. Tahorhu, he is pure. Tahorhu, he is pure. V'hisartem et bnei Yisrael mitumatam v'lo yamutu. And you shall alert the children of Israel about their impurity, and they will not die, so that the Jewish people will live now and forevermore. Amen.